For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best. Located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
I say throw the football. Throw the football. Forget about that stuff about trying to control the clock, keeping Breeze off the field. I'm throwing all that stuff out for this game.
Buccaneers fans, welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, episode 2 of this week, divisional round week against the Saints. Round 3, Ira, I feel like this is Rocky 3, except we performed really crappy in the first two fights. Sage, we are fired up. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And the podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. We love Sean Sullivan, the general manager. Because he loves Bucs fans and he loves helping people. And that's what a family-owned dealership is all about. Reach out to Sean Sullivan today and start shopping, of course, right now while you listen at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, Cosmo chewed up your sneaker, so I know you're recovering from that. But we got a lot to talk about with this game coming up. We're jacked up and we're so excited to, again, invite fans out to Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street. Just south of Ulmerton Road. What a great place to watch every single Bucs game. But road games, we've been hanging there all season. A lot of fun, a lot of Bucs fans. They've got the outdoor covered area, fully covered, modern, brand new. And what a great way to watch the game in open air, but great sound and everything. And, of course, the indoor tap room with Florida's best craft beer right there at Big Storm Brewing. Sage, how are you?
I'm so excited about this weekend, fellas. Even Cosmo chewing up my sneaker. He can't get on the wrong side of me. This is the best weekend of football on the NFL calendar every year, and this season is no exception. Great matchups. And, Lee, the NFL is saving the best for last. You watch the morning talk shows. Most of it in previewing the NFL is about Bucs and Saints. And that is with the defending champion Chiefs playing in the game before the Bucs and Saints tangle in the Superdome. Very little fanfare about that game. It's Brady. It's Breeze. Is this going to be Breeze's last game? Can Brady do this? Can he advance to the NFC title game? And Lee, one thing we haven't even mentioned, and you know, look, you got to say it's a 1 out of 3 shot. Suppose the Rams win, Lee, on Saturday. Suppose they do. I mean, they got Aaron Donald. They got Ramsey. They got Cam Akers. You know, they got good receivers. And suppose they pull an upset. All of a sudden, the Bucs are going into the New Orleans game thinking they could host the NFC title game as if they needed any more motivation. Lee, there's a lot of dynamics going into this weekend. But most of the dynamics is, can the Bucs reverse, you know, this awful 5-game losing streak against this division rival? They've ruled the division for 4 years in a row, Lee. It's not a fluke. They match up very well with the Bucs, but Lee, something tells me this is a different Buck team. It's a different offense, certainly. I think the Bucs are a very, very lively underdog, my friend.
It's got, and I almost hate to say it because I don't want to jinx it, but it's got a shut down the vet vibe to it.
That's not a bad angle, Lee.
A lot of people aren't giving the Bucs a chance. And, hey, if I got to be thoroughly objective, I've got my serious doubts. Because the Saints just have their number. For whatever reason, they have their number. They're the king of the hill until you knock them off. And can they do it? I don't know. But it's got a little bit of that vibe to it. You know, people are acting like Breeze. This is the last hurrah. And in your scenarios, it's not outrageous to come to the conclusion the Bucs very well could host an NFC title game. I mean, I love Aaron Rodgers, but the guy's a choke artist in the playoffs. Yeah, he's got one Super Bowl. What was that, 30 years ago? and ever since then, weren't they 15-1 and they choked Eli Manning and the Giants?
I believe they were 15-1, yes.
Yeah,
that's
right. Was in Lambeau, by the way. I will say, Ira, there, you said that I think without exception, this is the greatest weekend of football, and generally it is. But this year, I love how the NFL started that tradition. Triple header playoff games. I love that. It had a very, it felt like college football, where you could sit your rear end on the couch at noon and you could sit there all night long And you, to quote Uncle June, you can fart in the same pillow all day long and watch football.
Can't you just see DeCamper last weekend? The guy from Domino's Pizza just keeps coming in an endless cycle. Every 3 hours, Domino's Pizza knocking on his door. Here you go, DeCamper. Steve.
Hold on, Ira. Steve. It's one of those deals where you call the day before and you order you order the pizza and you say, I need deliveries at 12, 4:10, and 8:30. 12, 4:10, 8:30.
Yeah, you got the idea. You prep. You got to prep for it. You got to get ready. You got your Jimmy John sandwiches ready to go.
You got
to
have it ready.
Steve.
But Sage, listen, you're talking about offense.
Let's talk about this 2002 angle for a second.
No, I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about 2002 and 2021. You brought up this game and these Saints and got their number. Seven times in the last 11 games, seven times the Saints have held opponents to one touchdown or less. One touchdown or less, seven times in 11 games. How are the Bucs going to do this, Ira? Are they going to come out and, you know, like you wrote, throw a bunch of, we're going on 4th-and-2? Are they going to pull Max Protect with Gronk in a similar game plan like they had in Washington and try to just sort of overblock for Brady and let the talent take over? What are they going to do, Ira? And are they going to go back and watch film of Ryan Fitzpatrick lighting up Dennis Allen in 2018 and figure out how the hell it happened?
I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. I've said it the other day. Balls to the wall. You know what that means, Isbitz? You know what it means? You don't punt unless it's 4th-and-7 from your own 22 in midway through the second quarter. You don't punt. You bring out all the stops. You do an end-around to Antonio Brown. He stops and he throws the ball instead to Cameron Brake going down the middle of the field. You throw in plays that the Saints have never seen, have never contemplated. You do everything unorthodox to win this game. You shake them up to their core. You coach aggressively. Yes, you max protect because I've said it before. When Brady has time, he's going to carve up Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore won't know what the heck hit him if Brady has time. And this Trey Hendrickson thing, we got to keep our eye on this. This is not some minor detail here. Trey Hendrickson's the guy that gave Donovan Smith a beatdown the last time these two teams played. And I'm not sure he's going to play. And if he does play, I don't think he's going to be particularly effective. That is a big, big loss for the Saints coming off the right edge. And it would give the Bucs offensive line more of a chance to focus on Cameron Jordan and help out with the right guard situation. So to me, it's all about giving Brady time. Steve, you talking about the Saints defense. It's good. I don't know if it's better than Washington, but it's good. And the Saints are going to find out very quickly on Sunday night that they're not playing the Chicago Bears. They're not playing Mitch Trubisky. They're playing Tom Brady, playing at a 2007 level, a level which right now he may be the best quarterback in football. How do you like that, DeCamper? He might be the best quarterback in football, and that's including Rodgers and Mahomes. And I think the Saints are in for a rumble. I think the Bucs need to score 35, and I think they will score 35.
And if I was the Bucs, I'd be looking, you got to hit 40. You got to hit 40. Because after last week, when a backup XFL quarterback tore you up, imagine what Breeze and his weapons do. I'm still losing sleep. I'm still sweating, cold sweat, mind you, over that terrible, and that's not my word, that's Bruce Arians, terrible display of defense by Todd Bowles. So, if I'm the Bucs, you got to light up the scoreboard. And they have the capability to do it. And, Ira, I'm going to mention this right now. You harp up about this almost as much as you harp about it. Like, well, I got to check the calendar to see if they got a run or not. You always talking about throwing the ball up and let Evans get pass interference calls, defensive pass interference calls. Well, Mike Tanner, a good guy at Football Outsiders, was doing some research. He thinks the Bucs have an NFL record. He's not sure, because his research only goes back to 1985. The Bucs during the regular season have drawn 24 pass interference calls. That led the NFL by five or six. I can't remember which. And it was so many It was so many, Tanner started doing research to the best of his knowledge, the best he can come up with. And that goes back to 1985. That's a record. And that may be an NFL record, but that's the most in the NFL since 1985. And he thinks it might be an NFL record. And on top of that, the Saints have 18 defensive flags against them, defensive pass interference. They lead the league most interference calls. So what you're always harping about, outside of when you're harping about, well, let me check the calendar to see if the Bucs should pass or run. Forget what the defense is doing. Forget what it works. Forget our talent. The calendar will tell you what to do. You've been harping on this all the time. Throw the ball, get the flags. Well, apparently Arians and Evans and company have done that and exceptionally well.
That's outstanding research, Lee. And Steve, I want to direct this towards you. You haven't heard me talk about balance today, and you're not going to hear about it going into Sunday's game. You're not going to hear about it. Two reasons. One, the Saints are very sturdy against the run. Not as good as the Bucs, but a very good run defense. I say throw the football. Throw the football. Forget about that stuff about trying to control the clock, keeping Breeze off the field. I'm throwing all that stuff out for this game. The Bucs should throw the football. That's what they're doing right now. That's why they're averaging 36 points a game. I know they're not playing the Lions. I know they're not playing the Falcons. But they just did it to Washington. Steve, there's nothing wrong with the Washington defense. All I heard for a week is how these guys are going to club and hound Tom Brady all over the field. Steve, the Buck offensive line is playing at a very, very high level. You throw Gronkowski in terms of pass protection. He's certainly a willing, incredible blocker. And all of a sudden, you got a front wall in front of Brady. I think that Saint secondary is in for a long evening, Mr. Isbitz.
Sage, I'm glad you're all fired up. I'm glad you fired back a little bit at Lee there when he walloped you with balance talk, and I'm glad you're throwing that out the window for this game, Sage. You mentioned Tom Brady playing at a 2007 level. I think what Lee's really saying is he's afraid that the Buccaneers' secondary is playing at a 2012 level, and the bottom line there is I think with this secondary, and I have the same fears, and Todd Bowles, you know, we've seen this. It's like on a loop. Every other game, we're watching soft zones and hanging our heads and wondering what the hell's going on. It's gotten worse, but I think there's talent there. Unlike back in 2012, on the same way when they were running out guys like EJ Biggers and Danny Gorer and all that stuff. Danny Gorer and Laquan Lewis. There's legitimate NFL talent there, and I think there's at least enough there to make some plays, some real plays, you know, that can change a game or at least to get off the field even when they're not playing as well. So I'm not as down as Lee is on that defense, Ira, but you know, I understand that you want all the stops coming out. You want them to play George Costanza. You know, it's 4th and 8. You know, do the opposite of whatever you're going to do, you know, and it's an exciting time, Ira, but the aggression has to be there. And I think Arians at least is wired for that kind of thinking. I don't think he's going to hold anything back or get scared.
And Lee, I'm going to say this defensively. I share your concerns. I mean, I do. I watched the Washington game and look, even when they were winning, you know, 4 in a row before that, they were playing great defense. It was not overwhelming defense. Let's be honest. They're scoring 36 points and rolling up 500 yards a week. That's how they were winning. So I don't have any great illusions that they're going to win this game 14-10. But I'll say this. I think there's one thing that you might be able to take advantage of if you're Todd Bowles, and I think they should challenge it, and that is, you know, with all the concerns that Brady can't throw the ball downfield, all those concerns are gone. That's gone. But I'm not sure Breeze can. And what does that mean? That means you don't play 9 yards off Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. You don't do it. You don't give them those short balls over the middle, those easy completions. And if Emmanuel Sanders wants to beat Carlton Davis deep, let him try it. Let him try it. I don't like Breeze's arm at this point in his career. It's not what it was. And while Brady can still get the ball downfield, I'm not sure Breeze can. So, Lee, I think you got to take advantage of that and factor that into your defense.
Oh, I agree with you, Ira. I don't think, you know, Breeze clearly doesn't have the arm he used to have. I don't know if I'd go so far as to ignore the long pass. You know, he just may have enough to burn you once or twice. But when it comes to Breeze, another factor, and it's not so much the pass defense. Well, yeah, it is the pass defense. It's not so much the secondary that's got me worried. And, again, I like Winfield, and I like Carlton Davis, although he's not a zone guy. When is Bowles or anyone going to wake up? He's a man-to-man guy. You play him in zone, you're cutting his manhood off, for lack of a better term. But the Bucs pass rush, specifically two guys I really like, JPP and Shaq, they've been AWOL the past month. They haven't had a sack since December 13th. And they played some lousy teams, as we pointed out. And still, they haven't gotten to the quarterback. They've been AWOL. That's got to stop if the Bucs advance. They have to get to the quarterback. And if they don't get to the quarterback, dare I say, maybe those two guys aren't back next year.
This is a big game for Shaq Barrett and his pocketbook, Steve. There's no question about it. I mean, let's look at it. You know, this game is not going to determine whether Levante David returns to the Bucs. He's got the body of work over all these years. JPP is probably going to be back next year. But look at Barrett. He can be a free agent. He can be. He wants to cash in. He wants a long-term extension. And frankly, I'm dubious about giving it to him at this point. Steve, he needs an impactful game on Sunday evening.
I'm going to disagree with you, Ira. How about that? I'll tell you why.
Because I'm shocked, Steve.
Well,
I'm shocked.
I'm going to play in reality. You know how many teams in this league have no pass rushers? There are plenty of them who struggle to have no pass rushers. Shaq is not old. He's been healthy all year, 2 years in a row. And on top of that, sacks are down in the NFL last year. You ranted about it on your podcast last week. These guys can't get to Roethlisberger. They can't get to Mayfield, 100 passes. Sacks are down. But if you look at the some of the other pass rushing, the pressure metrics that general managers like to look at, and right, some of the objective ones and some of the subjective ones, depending on the sourcing, Shaq is a good player and a damn good player. And when you're under 30 and you're a healthy defensive end who can get to the quarterback, you get paid big in the National Football League, Ira. So I think it's a big game for Shaq if he wants $20 million and 20 teams after him. But if he just has a game where, you know, he's okay and nothing super special, and you know what? I still think he's going to have 10 teams dying to sign him for top dollar.
Well, I was talking about breaking the bank, Lee. I don't have any doubt that Shaq Barrett will have 10 teams after him if he hits the free agent market. But, Lee, not at the money that Shaq Barrett's thinking about, especially coming off 2019. So I was talking about in terms of breaking the bank that this is a big game for Shaq Barrett.
If I got to be a cold-blooded accountant, where I only look at numbers and there's zero emotion involved, I don't give him money. Not if he doesn't have a sack against the Saints and the Bucs lose. If you can't show up in the most important games, what's the point?
Wait, he's got pressures, he's got hits. But
I don't care if the guy's halfway to the moon. Quarterback's ass on the grass. That's what I want to see. He can't throw the ball when his rear end's on the field. I don't care if you breathe on him. And he can still complete a pass if you get pressure. You get a sack, he can't throw a damn thing. You get pressure, a quarterback can still throw. Ass on the grass. That's what I want to see. Anything outside of that is just talk.
Steve, I will say this up to Lee's point. This goes out to the people that think sacks are overrated in terms of, it should be hits and pressures. Theoretically, Steve, sacks and drives, even on first down. If it's second and 17, your odds of moving the chains are 14% all of a sudden instead of, 49%. So you got a good defense, sacks and drives, Steve, and you can't overstate that.
You know, we've had this discussion so many times about pressures versus sacks and all that stuff. You know, sacks are sacks, and don't take away from them. They matter. They make a huge difference. They get in quarterbacks' heads, and they get in offensive coordinators' heads, and they're infinitely more valuable than a pressure, you know, run-of-the-mill kind of pressure sort of situation. Sage, you know what gets overlooked a lot is the importance of doing the damn right thing when you've got mold in your house and you've got a leak. You can't just, you know, fart around, as Lee might say, with that pillow. You've got to attack it. You have to move quickly because you're going to have a problem otherwise that it's going to escalate in so many different ways. The phone call to make is to Florida's Elite Restoration. 24/7 they are available, and they're not a big national company where you're going to, you know, talk to some guy in Ohio at 2 in the morning. You know, you're going to get response from a local family-owned company that we know very well. Great Bucks fans, Josh Martin and the good-sized crew over there at Florida's Elite Restoration. They are helping our listeners and our readers, and they work with plumbers and contractors and big companies, as well as families. Sage, I know you know people that have used them, and yes, that's your first call. If you see mold, they're licensed mold remediation specialists. Call them before you call your insurance company. They'll give you an absolutely free assessment of what's happening and for any other disaster. And that's what you need, a free set of professional eyes to get started on making sure you don't have a problem.
Steve, it was great to see Josh and his crew out at Big Storm a few weeks back, and I got to meet all his compatriots over there. One of our sponsors, Steve, swears by Florida's Elite Restoration. He's had him out to the house three different times with three different issues, and each time he swears by their professionalism, their expertise in taking care of any issues. So Florida's Elite Restoration should be your first phone call.
Well, Iris, you and your palace that you have there, as the king of Newport Richey, you don't have problems like mold and leaks, blown out roofs and things like that. So you don't know firsthand, but I know you've got friends. So that's a good thing, Iris. Listen, Sage, when you're not at floridaselite.com, you're trying to figure out all the angles to this game, running the football. Now, I know it's a hot button for you. I know you've thrown it out the window, but we do know that Tom Brady and Arians and Leftwich, they would love to see a decent running game for when they may actually need it in this game. You never know what's going to happen as far as an injury or when you want to set things up in the passing game and close out a game late. So, Ira, where do you think this goes here? Ronald Jones may practice on Thursday. Most people, by the time they listen to this, they'll know whether Rojo is back or not for practice, but he's still not going to be 100% if he was out of Wednesday's key practice. Fournette coming off his best game as a Buccaneer. Keyshawn Vaughn, will they trust him after the fumble? Shady McCoy is back practicing. Obviously, he's got big game experience. Where do you think they go with the running game? What kind of emphasis do you think they actually do, even though you are fully in favor of them, you know, playing to their strengths and passing that football?
I'm not expecting Ronald Jones, Lee, to be a major factor in this game because if he was anywhere near ready, I think we would have seen him last week. We would have seen him, and we didn't. I mean, it was a one-and-done situation. No fooling around. Yeah, you play a bad game, you're done for the season. And we didn't see Ronald Jones. That tells me he's probably, even if he does play some snaps, Lee, not going to be an impactful player. I think Fournette went a long way towards regaining the trust, Lee, of the brain trust. More importantly, Tom Brady last week. Lee, we were talking about Shaq Barrett, you know, playing for the money. Here comes Fournette, Lee. Huge game for Leonard Fournette. If he can back it up with another strong performance in a Buck victory when they're underdogs, that's going to go a long way with other GMs all around the league. He's still young, Lee. I think he turned 26 this week. You know, not that much wear and tear on his body. He didn't carry the ball very much this season. And if he has another game like he did Saturday, where I think he was outstanding from his very first carry and showed he can catch the ball, as Arians has been screaming at us all season, caught 76 passes last year in Jacksonville. So that's why, you know, we were like, well, what's going on with this guy? Why can't he help in the passing game? Well, big game for Leonard Fournette, but I'll stick to my guns, Lee. I'm with you on this one. I don't mind Brady throwing 50 passes this game. I don't mind it. If that's what it takes to put 35 or 40 points on the board, that's what I'm doing. But it's a big game for Leonard Fournette for his future.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting you bring up Fournette, and I want to compliment you, Ira. Your Fournette sermon there was so compelling that even the NFL Network's close-ups of Kay Adams couldn't distract me from what you
said. That's saying a mouthful, baby.
Last night on NFL Radio, Arians did his weekly spot, and he did it on Late Hits with our good friend Alex Marvez and his co-host Bill Polian, who you know quite well. Matter of fact, I think you have his phone number. Yes. You speak with him once in a blue moon. Polian made a hell of an observation. During the interview, Polian said, "Hey, Bruce, I've been watching Fournette, and he's doing something I've never seen him do before, and I watched him a lot in Jacksonville. You're coaching him up. He's got vision." And I thought that was a hell of an observation.
Oh, what an observation. What an observation.
Because that was a nick in his armor, for lack of a better term, for Nets, that he supposedly didn't have great vision. And then, you know, he had this fantastic game against Washington on Saturday evening.
Lee, that is a startling statement by Polian. Steve, I didn't know that vision was an attribute that you could coach. I thought you gotta have it coming out of college, or you don't have it. It's not like strength going to the weight room and work on your pecs. Steve, you either have vision or you don't. I don't disagree because Fournette looked like a little bit of a different runner.
Ira, you know what gives you vision? When you have $10 million guaranteed at the other side of the line. That's what gives you vision. Come on.
And the blocking was good too, Steve.
Arians also said something that I haven't heard. Arian said that Fournette may have had his best game in his career as far as avoiding tackles on the second level.
The knock on Steve, the knock on Fournette is that he's a guy that plows straight ahead. He's fast for his size. He's powerful, but he doesn't make people miss. And on Saturday, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, we saw him busting out the spin moves early, and he also was able to maybe relax and focus a little bit better knowing that this was his game. And I don't discount that at all. The guy's used to that. He's always been that guy. And, a different role for him this year. Arian said he loves his role, whatever that means. Fournette said he loves it. Yeah. Whatever. That's all coach talk. Sage, let's see. I was going to throw this out at you, and I want you to tell me if I'm being soft, okay? I'm trying to find out if you think I'm being weak sauce here, being a fanboy, and trying to hang my hat on things that don't exist. But I watched that game a few weeks ago, Saints against the Eagles, and it was mind-blowing, Ira, that the Saints, the mighty Saints defense, had absolutely no answer for Jalen Hurts. It was as if they didn't know what was going on. And as if they were maybe a little bit surprised, it wasn't the same last-minute situation as Taylor Heineke was, but right. I look at the Saints just failing against Jalen Hurts, him running for over 100 yards and throwing well, and they lost the game, and it was a game they needed for home field advantage. And it sort of makes me feel like, you know what, I don't feel as bad about what happened to the Bucs. Facing the kind of quarterback that, is a running quarterback. They hadn't seen many this year. And it just makes me feel like, you know what, this could happen to anybody. And Drew Brees isn't going to run, so we'll be good.
No, there's something to be said for that, Steve. But I'll say this, Heineke played a whale of a game. I mean, he did. And, Lee, by that, I mean, yeah, there were guys running open way too often for Buck Nation. And I understand that. But, Lee, you got to admit, he also threw some gorgeous passes in tight windows. I mean, that touchdown pass in the left corner of the end zone, I mean, that's a Tom Brady pass.
That was an excellent throw. Of course, if you go after the guy and get to him, that doesn't happen. But, let's not let details get in the way of a nice story.
Steve, I thought when you started talking about, what Jalen Hurts did to the Saints, I thought you were going to make the point that New Orleans defense might be a little overrated, but I'm glad you didn't. Jalen Hurts does not apply to this game because Tom Brady is the opposite. He's not going to hurt them with his runs. I got to keep getting back to this central point, and there's no getting around it. Tom Brady and his presence, besides being the reason why the Bucs have been the number one story in the National Football League for the entire 2020 season, the entire, since March 20th. Let's be honest. Tom Brady is the reason the Bucs have a chance to win this game. He's not the Brady of week one. He's not the Brady of week nine. Tom Brady is at his peak right now. Peak. He doesn't look 43. He looks 27. And if he pulls this off, we got to remember, they're only two wins away from the freaking Super Bowl and making NFL history. They played 54 Super Bowls. It's never happened that you're playing your home stadium and the Bucs are two wins away from it. Now, look, they might have to go to New Orleans and Lambeau to do it. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But, Lee, I'll say it again. Brady's healthy and he's on fire. That gives the Bucs a real whale of a chance to pull this one off.
Brady's on fire. And you know what? The Bucs will go as far, I think, as Brady takes them. You're right, Ira. Brady is the Bucs. And if you look at how the season has transpired, it wasn't all that long ago where everybody was like, you know, Brady's not going to fit this offense. He can't throw deep anymore.
Right.
And all of a sudden, both worlds, and I wrote about this earlier this week on JoeBucksonline.com, both worlds have melded. Brady has been able to demonstrate he can throw long, and he is. You know, as Arians throw deep, but Brady's able to not throw picks. For example, Brady is the first quarterback that I can tell. I went back as long as Arians has been an NFL coach. Only three times he's had quarterbacks that have gone four games with one pick. Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tim Couch each went four games with one pick. Andrew Luck finished his rookie season three games without a pick. None of those quarterbacks went five games with one pick, except for Tom Brady. He's the first one to do that. So Brady's offense, in the sense that he doesn't throw picks, has melded with Arians' offense, throw deep. It finally worked. It took until December to happen, but it has happened. And we're seeing the results, and so far, those results are spectacular. Let's be honest. They're fantastic.
That's good research, Lee. You know, Steve, something's got to give Sunday. Something's got to give. Brady has been picked off five times by the Saints this season. Five. Yet in the last 5 weeks, Steve, the only pick he's thrown was the ball that went in and out of Scotty Miller's hands. That one's not on Brady. So basically, he's gone 5 weeks, and I don't care if it's the Lions, Falcons, Vikings, or Washington. I don't care. The fact is, he's basically gone the last 5 weeks without throwing a pick.
Bucks fans have seen all this. We've seen it. We see the this is the greatest season a Buccaneers quarterback has ever had. I don't have a problem saying that. I feel it. Do you guys agree?
Without question.
Yeah.
I mean, we are fantastic listeners, Ira. We don't have to state the obvious here. This is it's a dream scenario, Ira. We woke up one day, Tom Brady's here playing lights out. It's fantastic. You know, he had a few games where he couldn't throw the ball. Some people got their panties all bunched up. You know, it's fine. He's fine. He's just
fine. But Steve, to Lee's point, and Lee's right about it. When the third quarter of the season ended, the Bucs were 7-5, Steve. We got to remember that. Coming off a 1-3 quarter, and everybody was on Brady. What's going on with this offense? He can't throw deep. Here we are 5 weeks later. All the questions have been answered going into New Orleans, and Buck fans are pretty darn confident about pulling this upset.
And, you know, that's going to get us to our picks. But you know what, Ira? First, I want to remind everybody, they can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, various platforms. We appreciate all the many listeners. We don't care about the people who don't listen. We care about the people who do listen. And tell a friend, leave a review, whatever you want to do. We appreciate it. And, of course, all our readers at JoeBucksFan.com. It's also a great time to remind everybody, this is no joke whatsoever. When we tell you, just reach out to General Manager Sean Sullivan directly. Don't be shy and say, look, I want to get out of this. I'm driving my Subaru. I want to get into an F-150, and I got questions. I want to ask about a lease. You have a friend in the auto business in Sean Sullivan, General Manager, Bucks fan extraordinaire of Bill Curry Ford. You can walk into the showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium or just email him. You can get his email right at BillCurryFord.com. or you could call Ira, and Ira said he'll go there with you to the dealership. He will enjoy a free lunch from Sean and introduce you and make sure you get the Joe Bucks fan discount, that you don't forget about that. So we got to remind everybody of that. Sage, as far as picks, I'll let you pick the order. I know you like to know the order, so pick the order for today. Who goes when?
Timeout. Ira, your thoughts on Devin White returning?
Excellent subject, Lee. I think it's going to help, but to automatically think that Devin White's going to drop Drew Brees on his keister twice, I think that's dreaming. Now, look, he's got 2-3 sack games. I understand that. But this ain't Derek Carr over here. Everybody talks about you got to pressure Brees. Nobody can do it, Lee. Nobody can do it. I mean, it's going on 15 years over here. They can't do it. The guy gets sacked once every 30 dropbacks. One for every 30. Remember that. Whether he's playing a lousy defense or a good defense. One every 30. So here comes Devin White. Yeah, pressure up the middle. Well, the Saints know that. They're very familiar with Devin White. They handle inside pressure better than anybody. They know what Brees is vulnerable to. And, Sean Payton and the O-line coach do a great job. So, Lee, in the words of Lee DeKemper, and I'll second it, Lee, forget about the coverage, Mr. White. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. If you don't get there, you might help Shaq Barrett or JPP or Sue get there. That's the point. If they got to take care of you, they got to commit resources to Devin White. We don't want him in coverage. We don't want him covering Alvin Kamara. I thought that was going to be a positive for the Bucs coming out of LSU. It has not been. He does not excel in coverage. He struggles in coverage, but he could help on the pass rush, Lee. So that's a plus going forward.
I got to say this, Ira, about Brees. I'm bringing a lot of optimism here. We've seen it in the past years. We saw the Bucs in 2016 choke out Brees and the Saints, sacked him a bunch of times. They beat him 16-11. 2015, we saw Jacquees Smith drop him, I think, three times or three and a half times off the edge. He was the toast of NFL Network for a week, which was quite a deal for Jack Smith, as Lovey called him. And so it happens. I mean, Brees has more bad games, in my opinion, than Tom Brady. And your buddy Ron Jaworski was on the radio the other night. Sage made a very – he's the ex-Eagles quarterback, the ESPN quarterback guru for years. And bottom line is he sort of laid out that how some of these great quarterbacks will go into slumps within games and in general. But he said he broke down some of those slumps of great quarterbacks, including Brees. And then he sort of threw it at the end. The one guy who doesn't slump, if you really study it, is Tom Brady.
I'll take Brady over Brees right now, Lee, all week long and twice on Sunday. I don't think there's any question the Bucs have an edge and maybe a significant one at quarterback. With all due respect, Lee, to a first ballot Hall of Famer, right now, Brady's definitely the better quarterback.
Sage, order of the picks. How do you want this?
Order of the picks. Order of the picks is Isbitz, DeKemper, Sage.
All right. Well, if I'm going first, then I'll remind everybody, watch that Bucks game, Big Storm Brewing Company, Sunday, 6:40 kickoff. You can watch in Clearwater, indoors and outdoors, fully covered, or in Odessa at the Tap Room. Of course, it'll be on down in Cape Coral at their Tap Room, BigStormBrewery.com. You got to try the Bromosa or the classic Wavemaker Amber Ale. So many great beers at Big Storm. All right, Ira, who's going to win this game? This is exasperating, Ira, but you know what? I'm a believer that the Bucks will score points, and they have enough horses. This is why this team was put together, to make a play or two on defense to win it. So hopefully there's no more turf excuses from Ryan Succop, and the December Detroit Demons are out of his head, and the missed extra point he had last week that everybody forgot about is gone, and the Buccaneers win this game, Ira, and advance 27-26.
Oof. Lee, what say you, Mr. DeKemper?
Well, the cynic in me and if I want to be objective and analytical about this, I would pick the Saints. I just that display by the Bucks defense, termed terrible, quote unquote, by the head coach, that's freaked me out. And you don't do that against the Saints, and the Saints are finally healthy offensively. Analytical me would say Saints by 10. But I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to let my emotions get away with me. I'm going to pick Bucks 41-39, and the Bucks win on a last-second missed field goal by the Saints.
Very interesting, because Will Lutz is struggling right now. Normally, he's a source of strength for New Orleans, and he's struggling right now as their kicker. Lee, you went with your heart instead of your head. I'm going with my head, and I'm picking the Bucks. Now, you know, look, Lee, I'm kind of counting on you as a Saints vote. I'm going to break the tie, and look, I think they've come too far to stop now. The Saints could be a little overconfident, gentlemen. They could be. They think they're playing the same Buck team, from week one and week nine, and I don't think this is the same Buck team. The offensive line is playing much better across the board, and I know they lost Kappa, but they'll overcome that. But more importantly, this offense is on such a big roll. I don't have any illusions, Steve, that the Saints aren't going to score their points. And this Michael Thomas coming back, that worries me. That worries me, because he's a Buck killer. There's no question about it. And he wasn't a factor in the first two games this year, and the Saints won anyway. That's a concern. But I just think, as good as New Orleans defense is, Steve, and it's good, maybe very good, I don't think anybody can stop the Buck offense right now. If they don't turn the ball over, which they've been tremendous in terms of ball security, they will score in the 30s. So I got Bucks 33-31. Bucks advance to the NFC title game, perhaps at Raymond James Stadium.
Sage, you've made a lot of fans excited. We'll just roll into that game. Do you really think that the Packers, who are the hottest offense, the hottest team, a week off to prepare, a quarterback having one of the great seasons of all time, you know, far better than what Brady's done this year. What do you think?
I think if the weather's bad, I don't think the Rams have much of a chance, because Green Bay knows how to play in inclement conditions. But Lee, this Cam Akers is coming on strong for the Rams, and he might give them a little bit of ball control, moving the chains. And they got a darn good defense, the Rams, arguably the best in the league. They got the Terminator up front, and I don't know how injured Aaron Donald is. He's going to play, and Jalen Ramsey, I think, has the ability to really contain Davante Adams. That is a tremendous matchup, the game within the game there. I give the Rams a chance, Lee. I would say a 25% chance of springing an upset. I'll tell you one thing. Everybody in Buck Nation and everybody at One Buck Place, they're all rooting like crazy for the Rams, and it's understandable. They got a chance, Lee, but it's more likely that if the Bucks win, they will have to go to Lambeau.
Is it fair to say Aaron Donald's best defensive tackle since Sapp?
I think he's better than Sapp. I don't know if Warren Sapp would say that, but I think by all standards, he's better. Sapp's a two-time All-Decade player. Donald will probably be the same when he's finished. He could be the best player in football. He's that good. Now, a rib injury with a defensive tackle, that's a problem. You know, for the Rams, I think they need him. They need him at, 90-95%. I don't know if they're going to get that, but he could be a one-man wrecking crew. Sean McVay calls him the Terminator. I think that's pretty apropos.
One little nugget, Ira, that I, of course, in my assessment of the game, I've ignored it. I know it's there, so I'll mention it, but I've ignored it because I think somehow there's going to be a play by some of that talent to break through. But in these last four wins by the Saints against the Bucks, they've scored more than 30 points each time. That's four games worth. And you look back at what the Saints did to Todd Bowles' defense in 2017 against the Jets, they also rung up more than 30 points. And I don't think those things are a coincidence when you look at Breeze, seeing a defense that he's very happy to be playing. In a lot of ways, I just think, though, the Bucks will find a way to you know, have the that talent rise up and make a play. I mean, these are it's a defining game so much in, for some of these guys. Can Levante David make that big play on a big stage that we expect from, you know, iconic players? Can Devin White, you know, finally get an interception and look good in coverage and make a play? Or do we get a tip and a Antoine Winfield return? So I think something like that's going to happen. But Breeze's success against Bulls is pretty, pretty strong.
That's a fair point, Steve. One more thing we haven't talked about, Lee, just very quickly, is another pattern, Lee, a pattern that I think has to be reversed if the Bucks are really going to have a decent chance is they start terribly, Lee, against New Orleans. I pointed out the halftime scores of the last four matchups. I think it was 31-0, 17-7, 17-10, 17-7. All deficits. Fall behind, and all of a sudden that Saints pass rush gets ramped up, and they don't run the ball, the Bucks, at that point, and it's an uphill battle. So, Lee, they've been starting better, the Bucks. I like the idea of Arians now saying, I want the football when he wins the coin toss. And if they win the coin toss, I want the football again. I like it. It sets an aggressive tone from the start, Lee.
The season opening drive by the Bucks was a touchdown, but they didn't do anything after that.
Hey, Ira, you asked me and Lee to think about a question that you had, a disgusting question in the last podcast. And I'm not going to let it go, even though because you gave us homework to do. And it was the horrible question of what if the Bucks lose this game? Has this season been a failure? Has this season been a major disappointment? And the answer to that, Ira, is don't ask that question. But the answer to the actual question is it really depends what happens in this game. I mean, you can't not be competitive against the Saints, which is really what's happened in every game of the Arians era. Is the season a failure in my mind if they're not competitive in this game? No, it's not a failure at all, but it's a major disappointment. And, you know, it's going to have a lot of fans having that old Bucks-Eagles kind of vibe, wondering how we're going to get past this team. Yeah, I think if they compete, we'll all feel bad if they lose, but, you know, the arrow will be pointing sky high.
I don't disagree with you, Steve. I'll let Lee chime in a second, but to say it's a failure, I think that's crazy, Lee. They won 11 games. They're closing with a five-game winning streak here. So absolutely not a failure. They broke the playoff hex, Lee. They won a playoff game. It's not like now they're playing, you know, some 7-9 team in the second round. They're playing arguably the best team in the NFC. And if they lose, they lose. And if they lose, you say the Saints are better. And there's no great shame in that. But definitely not a failure, Lee. Absolutely a disappointment to lose three games to the Saints.
Yeah, it'd be very much a disappointment. Failure, I mean, yeah, you know, with this roster, you're shooting for the Super Bowl. The Bucks have made that pretty clear. That was their goal. But when you compare it to, you know, every year, 5-11, 4-12, getting your rear ends kicked in left and right, talking draft before Halloween, in that respect, there's no way you can call it a failure. Disappointment, certainly.
Sage, before we get out of here, Rondé Barber, you'll be presenting him next week. It's an early change for the Hall of Fame. Fans won't have the results for a while, but the voting is coming in. The big presentation is coming in next week. What are your feelers on the ground? Have you, you know, this in this strange COVID year, it's not like you can gather with some voters at a conference game, or, you know, you just can't do that. So what are you feeling? What are you sensing for the Buccaneers' chances, John Lynch and Rondé Barber?
Well, I mean, I got to be honest. I think it's a little bit of an awkward position presenting two guys, both from the secondary, from the Buccaneers' glory days. I mean, it's a little bit awkward. Look, we're always, you know, candid on this podcast, and to think you're going to get Lynch and Barber in as two out of the five guys, that's a stretch. It's a stretch. Not impossible, but it's a stretch. And, you know, Lynch has been waiting so long, and this is Rondé's first time in the room, so we'll see what happens. Rondé Barber has a compelling case as a Hall of Fame candidate. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think I'm going to open up a lot of eyes in that room, because I don't think people have looked at Rondé Barber that closely over the years. Now, it is a positive that he made it to the list of 15 finalists, but when you bore in on Rondé Barber's body of work and his career and his accomplishments, it's kind of eye-opening. It is. So I'm looking at this kind of launching the Rondé Barber campaign, and if he doesn't make it this year, he'll be back next year, even stronger. As far as John Lynch is concerned, 8 years in a row finalist, I think the best news that I can give Buck Nation and all those John Lynch supporters, and he's got so many of them, justifiably, is I got a lot of people stacked up after my presentation, which will be on the short side, because these people have heard from me 7 years in a row on Lynch. His numbers aren't going to change. His career is not going to change. I got people stacked up to talk about Lynch from different perspectives after I'm finished. And I know who they are, and I know what they're going to say. And when you combine all the elements, I expect John Lynch to be wearing a gold jacket. I don't guarantee it. I'm feeling a good vibe about Mr. John Lynch for the class of 2021.
Ira, who goes first? Who do you present first, Barber or Lynch?
It'll be Barber before Lynch, because they go alphabetical by position. And they group the defensive backs. They don't separate corners and safeties. It just says defensive backs. So Barber will be first. Leroy Butler will probably be second. And Lynch, and then Charles Woodson would be the fourth one of the defensive backs.
Ira, when you made your comment there about Barber a minute ago, a little red flag went off in my head, so I'm going to say it right here. I think it's important to emphasize, as you said, it's hard to get two guys in from the same secondary, essentially. But I think it's very important for you to emphasize that Rondé Barber played 9 years for the Bucks, a career, 9 years without John Lynch around. And I think that might be important to put that out there.
Yeah, and I think another angle which is interesting is who was more responsible and who do you credit more for the success of that Tampa 2 over a 7 or 8 year period, which is an eternity by NFL standards. And I think I would shade a little bit towards Lynch on that question, just in terms of the effectiveness of the Tampa 2, because he was the acknowledged leader of the Buck secondary during those glory years. And, you know, Rondé Barber can't say enough about John Lynch. I mean, he just talks about John Lynch as the ultimate teammate, the ultimate competitor. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this case for John Lynch. Now, look, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson is nobody to sneeze at. Probably the best receiver in football for about 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's a strong case right there. Then you got the returning guys. So it's not going to be easy. You can only pick 5 out of 15. But by the time we gather next week for our podcast, I might have some good news. Let's hope.
Sage, you've put a bunch of guys in the Hall of Fame, a hearty handful, including Ed Sable. I'm just curious, Ira, because I know you're all about the food. Has any one of these iconic football players, after you put them in the Hall of Fame, has any one of them taken you out to a 5-star dinner, said, thanks, Ira, you know, here's a gold watch as well?
Brooks took me to Arby's a couple of years ago, told me I could have anything on the bill, and then said he didn't have any cash, and so I ended up paying. But other than that, and don't forget the classic Warren Sapp, a couple hours after he found out that he made the Hall, and he went to the convention center to go on that show. And I waited for him in the lobby, and I saw him coming through the doors, and he saw me, and he engulfed me, tears streaming down his face. Whatever you want, Kaufman, whatever you want, you got it. And I'll take you to Burns, I'll take you here, I'll take you there. I said, 99, all I want is, now you can talk to me. You didn't talk to me for 4 years when I was covering you with the Bucks. So that ended that. So to answer your question, Steve, I'm still waiting for a meal from Tony Dungy. Sap, if you're listening, I'm available for Ocean Prime. Mr. Brooks, let's go to Arby's again. This time it's on you.
Sage, get out of here.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best. Located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.